They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Every time we encounter a reading from the book of Deuteronomy, like we did this morning, it is worth reminding ourselves of what the societal context is of that. That the book of Deuteronomy is set up as a farewell address from a beloved leader. And since it's a farewell address, it deals with all the types of things that one would do when they were about to go off and not be your leader anymore. It reminds them of all of the progress that you have made together. It reminds them of the values that you have had that have resulted in progress, but it also reminds you of the places where you have fallen short, where things led to trials and tribulations. But in the passage that we get this morning in the midst of this farewell address, it deals with a very real anxiety of the people that would be hearing it, which is when your leader goes away, who is going to lead you now? And how will it make sense? I mean, the people that this address is given to would be thinking, we have had Moses for 40 years here in the wilderness to be our liaison to get the right words of God and bring them to us. And that right liaison's going away. How are we going to get the words of God in the future and make sense of them? And so that's what the passage is about today. It is about Moses in this farewell address dealing that very real anxiety of a leaving leader, not just because that leader is going away and they will miss them, but there is something about that leader's function for them that they do not know how they're going to replace. And that is, how are they going to replace hearing and understanding the words of God? Because as the passage tells us, there are lots of people that go around and say that they speak for God. There are these folks called prophets everywhere. And in the future, these people standing before them and their children and their children's children are going to encounter folks who come and say they claim to speak for God. How is somebody supposed to be able to tell the difference between someone who's telling the truth and someone who is not? And so Moses gives them two what seem to be overly simple criteria. One is, if they say that their word comes from another source, it didn't come from me. Now, that might go without saying, but I will tell you, folks, there are a lot of times where words that seem to be good words are given with appeals to other sources of rightness and piety that are not God. And he says, if somebody comes to you and they give you some other source for the word that I'm giving you, that this makes sense because of something else or someone else or there's some system of belief, those are not my words. They just told you they weren't. Don't listen to them. But then he gives this criteria. In fact, David and I had to have a discussion in the sacristy this morning because I had to expand the lectionary reading because the lectionary is obviously uncomfortable with the second criteria and they cut it off. And the second criteria is this. It says, if that prophet speaks a word and it proves to be true, that word was from me. So this is the criteria that, like, if you're running a business, every decision that was profitable, I made. All the unprofitable ones other people made. Like, so you can see why they want to get rid of this. But it also puts a real burden on the prophet because now you got to be right 100% of the time. Like, and I'm like a clock, I think, with my prophecy. If I'm right and my clock's a year-long clock, maybe it's my whole life. If I'm right twice this year, a broken clock, if I'm right twice this year, my head will get so big you won't be able to stand me. But the criteria here is 100% of the time. So if they tell you it's not from God, do not listen to it. They appeal to any other source of revelation, any other source of decision making. That is not from me. And second, if it comes true, that was from me. Now, the second criteria, I think, also implies some things that we don't think about when we think about prophets. One is that the people that are hearing the prophetic word will be able to discern that. And that might seem also common sense, but it is not the way we normally think of prophecy. The idea of prophecy in our minds is that somebody speaks a word that will come true many, many years from now. In fact, the people hearing the word will never be able to discern that. But this criteria means that that's nonsense. And it does remind us that that is not the prophecy of the Bible. The prophecy of the Bible is not fortune-telling, it is not soothsaying. The prophecy of the Bible are real things, words that are given from God that can be discerned by the people that hear them in their own time. In fact, it reminds us, and though this is a much longer sermon for another time, the work of the prophet is to be able to determine and discern and interpret the times in which they live against the criteria of the law of God and say what the outcome will be from the relationship of the people living in their relationship to God's law. In other words, the prophet, as one of my seminary professors used to always say, they are covenant lawsuit givers. Their job is to go to the people and say, here's what God's law says. Here is the relationship that you have to that law in this moment. And because of that relationship, I can tell you what will happen. Not 50 years down the road, not 100 years down the road, not 2,000 years down the road. Right now, in your midst, there is a natural result from your current relationship to God's law in your actions. And just to do a little bit more remedial work here, God's law is, as is summarized by Moses in his this very farewell address we've got this morning, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So what God is saying in these criteria is, it comes from me, and that person is giving you a word. They are diagnosing your situation with regards to my law and giving you the correct prognosis. If they're not doing that, they are not my prophet. They're from someplace else. They are offering some strange piety or strange righteousness, and they are pulling you astray. Now, my passage for this morning is actually the gospel passage, but I felt like that preamble was necessary for you to understand what is happening in this synagogue on that Sabbath morning when Jesus gets there to talk to the people in this town. Because the people in this town have a remarkable response to Jesus. And that response is grounded in this idea of a prophet being a true prophet. Because when they say that Jesus speaks with authority, they are not saying something about his charisma. They are not saying something about his new revelation. They are not saying something about his orator skills. They are saying, Jesus, this person is diagnosing our situation correctly in this moment and offering us a prognosis that is believable. He is a prophet from God. He is a prophet that speaks with authority. That's what authority means. It doesn't mean that he uses his might or his smarts. It means that he is able to cut through that moment and see how their relationship is to the law of God and offer them what is a likely outcome from that relationship. In fact, it's one thing to have authority, and the other thing that Mark does for us this morning is he shows us it's real authority. Because remember, the second criteria is, if they say it and it happens, it's for me. And he encounters this unclean spirit. And the unclean spirit says, what do you have to do with us? And Jesus, through his word, is able to make something happen. You will notice in the story, Jesus does not touch this person. Jesus doesn't say some incantation. Jesus just says, be silent. Come out. His words prove to be true in the act of that evil in their midst leaving. And then the people are really astounded, because it's not just his ability to discern, it's his ability for the words to come true. And then, what I think is the most remarkable thing about this gospel passage this morning, it is Jesus' authority that gets him fame and notoriety. It is not his miracle working. It's not his skills as a teacher. It is the fact that what Jesus says comes true. He's able to cut through all the other stuff, and he's able to expel the evil that is in their midst, who has been there. It says in their synagogue, actually. It's very much condemning that this unclean spirit has been there for a while. Jesus is able to come in and be a prophet from God and change the makeup of their community. Now, of course, this is contrasted. Jesus speaks with authority and they're astounded, because it's contrasted with the non-authority that the scribes are offering. The scribes have been offering a way of life for them. The scribes have been offering moral codes. The scribes have been offering standards for the community. The scribes have been doing their very best to form a perfect society for people to live in. In fact, there probably are no more moral people that have walked on the face of this planet than the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day. They can keep the rules better than you or I ever could. And if you can imagine somebody who keeps rules great, they are better than that too. They were committed to the project of being moral, except that the morality they have came without authority. And the reason it did was because it did not appeal to God, and it did not prove to be true in the actions that people took. Authority is the fresh breath of air that Jesus is able to bring them, even though they already have a standard of behavior. I think if they were in this place this morning, or in our culture this morning, they would be hungry for the same thing. Because I think the thing that we lack in our time is not lots of rules. It's not lots of ideals. It's not lots of philosophies. What we lack is true authority. And part of that is because we appeal to other things, to other ways of doing the right thing other than the law of God. We appeal to things like tradition, which is really a false god, and heritage and progress. And so I'm not so afraid in our country or our society or even the time that we live in, things of alternative facts or fake news. In fact, I think they are probably more the result of than the cause of appeals to alternative piety and fake righteousness. That what we have is a problem. We have no sense of authority. Authority that is derived from loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with your strength, your mind.